come into our lives and how God wants to be intimately a part of our life and move through us to do incredible things. So if you're here tonight and are interested in hearing about the Holy Spirit and are wondering how you might be able to get the Holy Spirit to be more tangible and active and alive in your life, you know, tonight's the night for you. We got an exciting story to share. And so last week, Nate shared with us about in Acts, we're starting our series in Acts here at the Well, and tonight's the second week of the series, and we're talking about a community of various things. I'm not sure if that's the actual title of the series, but that'll work, because it's about how God forms our lives as Christians as a community, and there's different aspects of what this community looks like. And so I'm going to pray for us tonight before we get started here. Dear God, we thank you for this chance here, and I thank you for this chance to share tonight. God, I thank you for this opportunity that Nate's given me to share how the Holy Spirit's been active in my life and how through the Bible we can see that the Holy Spirit's a real thing and a real part of you, God, who wants to come and encounter us tonight here too, Jesus. So we just ask that you bless this time, God, and take my words away and let your words remain and let your words be spoken here tonight, Jesus. Dedicate this time to you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Acts chapter 2. We're going to be in verses 1 through 13. It should also be up here on the screen, too, if you'd like to follow along. I'm going to be reading from the Message version here tonight from the good old fancy iPad. Thanks, Mom and Dad, for a graduation present. Starting now in verses 1 through 4 of Acts chapter 2. It says, "When the feast of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Without warning, there was a sound, like a strong wind, gale force. No one could tell where it came from. It filled the whole building. Then, like a wildfire, the Holy Spirit spread through their ranks, and they started speaking in a number of different languages as the Spirit prompted them." And so what we see here in this passage is the first thing that happens when the Holy Spirit comes is we get to become God's mouthpiece. First thing the Spirit does, he enables people to speak various languages, and he shapes their words so that people can hear the gospel in their own language. And it can be more than just, I think of the Holy Spirit, and I think, I don't really speak in tongues too often, so I wonder if the Holy Spirit's in my life. And it's more than just that. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will come into your life and enable you to speak a different language. But he can also come and do different things because the Holy Spirit does different things for different people in different circumstances. And so one story I have of where the Holy Spirit did something through me was actually on this internship I got to do in Las Vegas with my friend Corey Smith, sitting up there in the sound team. Hey, Corey. And so we were doing this internship down there, and each week we had a different group of high schoolers come through, and we hosted their mission trips. And we were in Las Vegas, and we would just go out and pray for people, on the Vegas Strip. And so it was pretty scary, but some pretty cool things happened. And one of them was, I was with this girl named Joanna. She's from Texas. And we went, and we were doing this one outreach where we were just doing surveys, asking people what they thought about God, and just using this as a bridge to get into conversation with people. And so we were going out on this one outreach to a place called Miracle Mile Mall, and we got into conversation with this one lady. We found out she wasn't really too interested in God or anything because she just had a rough life growing up and just got turned away from God for various reasons. But at the end of the conversation, we noticed she had been rubbing her shoulder a lot. And we thought, her shoulder's hurting. I might as well offer to pray for her shoulder. And so Joanna said, hey, can we pray for your shoulder? We saw you were rubbing it while we were talking to you. And the lady said, it's just sunburn. Don't worry about it. And this could have been an opportunity to just be we'll just go talk to someone else. But Joanna did something different. She noticed that the lady, instead of having a hurt shoulder, she had these bandages on her fingers and that her fingers were all bruised. And so Joanna pressed further and said, hey, would you like us to pray for your fingers? They seem to be hurting. And the lady said, I broke them right before I came here and kind of sucks to not be able to use my left hand when I'm in Vegas. It's a practical thing to have, a left hand. And so we pray for this lady's fingers. We find out they were broken and we're going to pray for them. So she sticks her hand out and Joanna and I laid our hands on her hand and we just started praying and asking for God to move and heal this lady. And so something strange started happening. while we were praying for her, her hand started to feel really warm. This was strange because right above us, we had this air conditioning vent. And so it's not normal for a hand to feel warm when it's under AC. It should be cool. And so when we were done praying for her, we noticed, we like asked her, like, hey, can you move your hand or anything? And she started to be able to just twitch her fingers a little bit. We're like, oh, something must be up here. Like, let's keep praying into this. So we kept praying for her. And at the end of it, we asked if she could move her hand. And she was able to bend all five of her fingers. And it was this incredible story of God healing someone in Las Vegas. And it's more than just healing, too. He used this opportunity to change a woman's perspective who, going into a conversation, wasn't interested in God, but now she has something to think about going home. And it's this idea that you don't even necessarily need words to be God's mouthpiece. He can move through you, through your actions, through your life, to go make a change in someone and speak that God's real, he's alive, and he loves you. So God's awesome. He does amazing things. So praise him tonight. After I get a drink of water, continue with the text. Dave, I haven't worked it. Haven't worked out the get a drink transitions yet. But continuing on with verses 5 through 11 with the text. There were many Jews staying in Jerusalem just then, devout pilgrims from all over the world. When they heard the sound, they came on the run. Then when they heard, one after another, their own mother tongues being spoken, they were thunderstruck. They couldn't for the life of them figure out what was going on and kept saying, aren't these Galileans? How come we're hearing them talk in our various mother tongues? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites? Visitors from Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, immigrants from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, even the Cretans and Arabs, they're speaking our languages, describing God's mighty works. And so whenever my wife and I are reading the Bible together and we come across one of these, you know, either genealogies or just lists of names and people groups, we get kind of like curious, like, well, that's kind of boring, you know, why would God put that in there? God quickly reminds us that he doesn't do things without a purpose. So I looked into, like, why is this list of people here? And it turns out that Luke, the guy who's writing this text here, this is the list of the 15 people groups that were in the known world of that day. So effectively it's saying, like, you know, all the Americans, all the Chinese people, all the Koreans, all the Africans, and, you know, every single person, all the British, everybody, everyone's language was spoken. God doesn't leave anybody out here tonight. If you're here, if you're a living human being, God speaks to you and he wants to be a part of your life. And I think that's awesome that God's here for all of us. And it's also cool that he customizes his voice to us in a language we understand. Imagine if you're here tonight and you heard God say to you, Hola, me llamo Papi Dios. Yo mando mi hijo para tu, porque yo te amo. Some of us here tonight speak a little Spanish and know what that means. Other of us might not have a clue what Spanish says. And so I like to think, if I'm thinking about God and how he wants to speak to me, you know, I could go on Bing or Google Translator and find out what that means. I could look in my Spanish textbook or talk to one of the professors here, and I could find out what God has to say. But there's a little more value if the person talking to me, the Lord, actually takes the time to speak to me in a language I understand. And instead of him saying to me that Spanish phrase, he would say, Hello, my name is God, and I sent my son to die for you because I love you. And there's a lot more weight when God speaks to us in a language we understand. And that's what our God does. He speaks to us in a way we can comprehend. So let's continue with the text. Picking up with the last couple verses, in verses 12 through 13, their heads were spinning. They couldn't make head or tail of any of it. They talked back and forth, confused. What's going on here? Others joked, they're drunk on cheap wine. So that's an interesting accusation. You know, if the Holy Spirit comes and shows up in your life and someone just says, oh, hey, you had too much Thirsty Thursday and you're drunk now. Well, that would kind of be a little unnerving to me if someone said that, if the Holy Spirit was in my life. But there's something to it. Later on in the text, you know, Peter defends this and says, like, you know, one thing, it's 9 in the morning. They're not drinking at this hour. At least they shouldn't be. And it fulfills various other prophecies from the Old Testament that we don't need to get into right now. But the key point here is when the Holy Spirit shows up in our lives, you know, it can look ridiculous. It can look crazy and like something we haven't experienced yet before, because God is big and he can do bigger things than our imagination can even hypothesize. And so for a minute, I want to talk about some obstacles that we can have when we try to open ourselves, because God's Holy Spirit is readily available to us. As Nate talked about last week, the last thing Jesus says to do in the account of Luke, he says, go wait for the Holy Spirit in Jerusalem. And so we can go wait, but there's some obstacles to opening our heart to God coming in an intimate way. And one of those obstacles is fear of what might happen. Stepping out of your comfort zone and not being sure. You might have heard that God loves you, but sometimes we just doubt and get scared. Like, well, I wonder if that's actually true. You know, I read a story in the Bible, but does that still happen today? I shared earlier about a healing story, and like, going into that experience, I had never seen God heal anybody. I thought that was kind of crazy. But God showed up, and he did something outside of my imagination. Same thing with the people in this passage. I'm pretty darn sure, I checked in a couple commentaries, the disciples probably didn't have too many experiences like every single language in the world being spoken all at once. Kind of a new thing for them. And so that's the thing. God's big, and he does stuff outside of our imagination. Another obstacle is sometimes we just get scared. Like, we know God loves us, but maybe we just get scared. Like, what if for whatever reason he might not do something amazing? Or we might feel unworthy, like, maybe I'm not worthy of the Holy Spirit coming into my life. We can also just be comfortable with where we're at and not feel any pressure or any need to step out to the next level. And that's kind of the idea with the Holy Spirit. Like, you know, you can be a Christian, but you cannot be living it to the fullest. There's a verse in John 10:10 where Jesus says, I have come so that you may have life and have life to the full. And so you can have Jesus in your life and have life, but if you want life to the full, you have to let God be active in your life. I can tell you that when I saw that healing in Vegas, I was a little more excited about Jesus than I was going into it, because I saw the tangibility and how real God is today. And so if we can overcome those obstacles, the key to overcoming them is to just trust in God. I was scared when Joanna started praying for this girl's fingers to be healed, because I hadn't seen healings before. But we stepped into it, even though we were scared, and we trusted that God would show up. And that's really the key to overcoming these obstacles, just being open and trusting God, even if you don't feel comfortable with it. It's the same thing Michaela shared earlier. It feels uncomfortable, but God shows up. And so one last story I want to share is another story from Las Vegas, because this was a time in my life where I encountered Holy Spirit for the first time. And so we were doing another outreach, and it was at this park with a bunch of shopping malls around. And so we were paired up into twos, and we were just walking around offering prayer for people. And it was weird because there was about five groups of us there, five pairs of two, and we all felt led back to this one central area, this park area, with it was probably popular because it had fake grass, because in Vegas you don't get much rain or anything there, so they import the grass from Arizona. But all these people, we just all felt drawn there. There are plenty of other places for us to go, but we felt like the Spirit was directing us back here. And so, you know, we saw all our groups around. We were like, well, hey, God's probably up to something if he drew us all here. And so we looked over, and we all saw this group of 14 or 15 high school-age kids just sitting in a circle hanging out. And we were like, oh, we're here on a mission trip to share the gospel. God brought us here, and there's a group of people. You know, it doesn't take a math degree to figure this one out. God wants us to talk to these people. So we split up. Half our group prayed for the situation and just interceded, and the other half went over to talk to them. I was in the intercessor group, which I was kind of happy because this was a scary thing to me. I could talk to a couple people, but going up to a group of 15 people and saying, hey, you want some prayer? Want to hear about Jesus? Much scarier. And so I see they go and introduce themselves, and instead of getting shut down and turned away, the kids just were like, hey, yeah, sure, hang out with us, tell us a story. And so this went on, and we saw they were over there for 15 or 20 minutes, and found out later that these kids were just open to listening, and our group got to share like an extended summary of the Bible with them. And miraculously, at the end of it, all 15 kids came to know Jesus that day. And it's this incredible story of the Holy Spirit shows up because he wants to communicate with other people. And God does powerful things to make that happen. We just have to open ourselves to it. Nothing miraculous would have happened if our group decided, like, oh yeah, God loves us, I'm going to play some Xbox now. No, God showed up because we made ourselves available, and then the Holy Spirit came in and did the rest. We don't choose, like, you know, I'm going to go to a mall and heal some lady's finger. We don't choose, I'm going to be in worship and pray for some lady's back, even though I don't know why. We don't choose what the Holy Spirit does. We open up ourselves and just listen and then follow God's leading with what the Spirit wants to do. And so the last verse I want to share tonight, Joe, if you want to come back up to lead us in worship. But the last verse I want to share comes from Job 42, verse 5. My ears have heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. My ears have heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. This was my experience when I did my internship in Vegas that summer. I was fortunate to grow up with a loving family and a Christian home, in a church that I could go to every week and hear God's truth, Christian schools where I had Bible class practically every day, and my ears got to hear a lot. But my experience, just like Job's experience with the verse, was it's different when you see it. And that was my experience with Las Vegas that summer. I saw the Holy Spirit do things, and it was way more powerful and transformative in my life than just hearing about it. And so what we want to transition to tonight, in a couple minutes, Joe's going to lead us in a song, and then Dr. Hovey's going to lead us in a foot washing, which, not to steal too much of his time, tonight we're celebrating a Maundy Thursday, and this is where Jesus celebrated the Passover dinner with his disciples. And at this, he does foot washing, and then a couple weeks later, he says, go away in Jerusalem for the Holy Spirit. And we get to model this tonight. Dr. Hovey's going to lead us in the foot washing, and then that's going to be over there. And then we're going to have space over here to just receive prayer if you would like to receive the Holy Spirit into your life. It's okay if you've had the Holy Spirit in your life before. We can pray for more of that and just a greater outpouring. Or if it's your first time and you want the Holy Spirit to be active in your life and see God do powerful things, we can come receive prayer for that too. And again, we're going to model it like Jesus did. Get your feet washed, wait in Jerusalem. But that's the message tonight. We can talk about it all day, but the bottom line is, until you open yourself to having the Holy Spirit be open and active in your life, you may hear, but you may not see. And I want you guys to see, because I want you guys to have life to the full. So let's pray for us tonight. Dear God, I thank you for this time to share, and I thank you for calming my nerves to just share this message, God. And if anything comes across, it's that life is not life to the full without your Holy Spirit. So God, I pray that you can overcome obstacles in our life, and in every single person here, just open our hearts and our minds to having the Holy Spirit just run rampant and be in control of our lives and do miraculous things. I pray an outpouring of the Holy Spirit into every single person's life here today, Jesus. We lift these people up and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.